Welcome to the Breakthrough Success Podcast, helping you achieve that breakthrough you've always been looking for in your business. And now your host, Mark Ghiberti.
Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Mark Ghiberti, and this is the podcast for marketers and small business owners who are looking for the breakthrough for their businesses. I'm very excited about this show. We are going to discuss how to quickly crush it on Kindle with our guest, Lise Cartwright. Lise is a Kindle author who has published over 20 Kindle books and was making $3,000 to $4,000 each month within her first 6 months of self-publishing. It is my pleasure to welcome Lise to the show.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. It's a pleasure to be interviewing you. Thank you for taking the time to be here today.
No problem. Happy to be here.
So my first question for you is, you got to start with why. It's based on a book. It's a really popular book. So my question, why did you become a Kindle author?
Well, I have been a freelance writer. But when I first started writing Kindle books, I'd been freelance writing for about 2 years. And I had sort of got to a point where I was like, okay, I'm not really enjoying necessarily writing for clients. How else can I monetize the writing that I was doing? And I started researching and seeing what was out there, and I came across Steve Scott's site, I can't even remember what the original site name was. Steve Scott's site. That's it, .com. And I just consumed so much information. I was reading what he was doing and the process that he'd taken, and I sort of thought, you know what, I'm writing so much nonfiction now as a freelance writer for clients, surely I could do the same thing. But it took me 6 months of reading and researching and sort of doing it before I sort of pulled the trigger and actually did anything. And actually my very, very first book that I did was a complete fail, like just really, really bad. And nobody knows too much about that because I don't say that too often, but I did a book. I think my very, very first book that I wrote was back in maybe December 2013. And it just failed. And I sort of thought, okay, I need to regroup. And then I came across self-publishing school sort of 4 or 5 months later. And that really solidified everything because I knew I had the writing part down. It was the putting together a book part, the publishing, the marketing side of things that I just wasn't really sure. In fact, I found it quite intimidating thinking about writing a book. It just, I don't know why, because realistically, if you break it down, particularly for a nonfiction book, fiction is a whole other story, but for a nonfiction book, if you have a blog and you're writing a blog, sort of quite regularly, they're almost chapters in a book. And once I sort of took a step back and looked at it from that point of view, it definitely made writing a book a little bit easier. But so that's the reason why I sort of started going into that. And also I was looking to generate passive income and just to diversify my income base, because I quit my job in June 2012. From that point forward, I always wanted to make sure that I had a diversified income base, so I just wasn't relying on one sole income source like you do when you're working a normal job, because that doesn't necessarily mean that it's guaranteed.
So when you were thinking about pulling that trigger and getting started into the self-publishing world, what were you thinking when that path was in front of you and you're starting to think about writing books for the first time? And was it the writing the book that was more intimidating in the beginning, or the marketing side?
I think it was a bit of both. Like I understood the writing aspect, but the actual construction of a book. And I don't really know why, because I think about it now, I think it's silly because you break it down, but I was really intimidated by the actual, maybe the physicality of a book, like actually putting words into a book that people were going to read. And then, yes, also the marketing side of things, I had no idea how that even worked. I didn't even know about self-publishing. How would you go through getting a traditional publisher? Like it was just all so foreign. I had no idea. I was quite concerned, and that's why I didn't do anything. I'd been reading and consuming information for 6 months, and I hadn't done anything because of that. I was just like, oh, I just don't even know how any of this is going to work. It's just like when you're starting anything new and you don't know, and you're just like, oh, like it freaked me out a little bit. And again, that's why I made the decision to learn how to do it, rather than after the first book that I wrote, it just really failed miserably. I was like, okay, I actually need to need some help with this.
It's okay to fail the first time as long as you keep going. There's a quote somewhere, like, you fail your way to success. I don't know who came up with that quote, but I know that someone said something like that.
It sounds like a Gary Vee quote.
that would make a lot of sense.
But yes, I agree. For me, it was just like, okay, well, the first go I did things by myself, and then the second time I was like, okay, time to sort of regroup and get some help.
So before you wrote Kindle Books, you were also a freelancer. How would you describe your transition from a freelancer to self-publishing your own books, and what were some of the key differences?
The key difference was that I was now really working fully for myself. I wasn't held to a client, and I think that potentially could have been an issue if I had just sort of gone straight from working to straight to publishing books. I think having the transition from working to freelance writing to writing books was a good transition, because I had a lot of processes and organizational stuff in place. So for me, I don't actually feel like it was too much of a switch for me, because I am quite disciplined in the way that I write, and because I was already writing for clients, switching to writing full-time books was actually fairly simple. In fact, I just enjoyed it far, far more, writing books for other, for myself versus writing for clients. So the switch wasn't too hard. I just made sure that I blocked a lot of time and for writing and the process of, putting a book together and marketing it and all that sort of stuff. It was just mapped out. So I just approached it the same way that I would approach a client project, and I just put in all the timelines and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, and the transition wasn't too difficult, but I suspect that had I, quit my job and then gone straight into self-publishing without having that sort of discipline framework in place, it would have been a lot different.
So I mentioned earlier that you've published over 20 Kindle books so far, but one of the key things you did that I'm really interested about is that you wrote 13 Kindle books in 6 months. And these aren't like 20, 30 page books. These are like 100 plus pages. How are you able to do that?
I think it's just the fact that because I had been freelance writing before that, the habit was there in terms of writing. I type really fast. So I've been typing since I was 13, and I'm 38, don't tell anyone. So I've been typing a long time. So I generally pump out 1,500 to 2,000 words an hour. So it doesn't take long. Like, you just button tier. When I'm writing a blog post, my blog posts are generally around the 1,500 to 2,000 mark. So you times that by, however many words there are in a 100-page book, and it actually doesn't take too long to write that. So I was averaging about 1 to 1.5 books a month when I first started.
Were you able to, like, how many words were you writing in a given day? I mean, I know you could write 1,500 words an hour, but how many hours were you actually sitting down and writing?
So when I first started, I was still transitioning. So I still had freelance clients, and so it was balancing between freelance work and writing books. So for me, when I first started, I just sort of set aside an hour a day. That was my goal. And if I sort of got into, you know, a really good rhythm, then I could extend, I just extended that for as long as it, as I needed. So on average, I would say I was probably initially doing about 2 to 3 hours a day. And then when I sort of went more full-time in it, I would say I was probably writing maybe 4 or 5 hours a day. I couldn't sit there and write for 8 hours a day. Like, it's just, I did do it. I did, I think it was at the beginning of 2015, I did 7 books in 7 weeks. So, you know, basically wrote, published, launched a book each week for 7 weeks. It was a stupid idea. It was something I wanted to try. And, you know, I was writing a book in a day, and that was, you know, 8 solid hours of writing. And that's like, that really takes a lot of concentration, and not something I would recommend you do, unless that's how you, you know, that's how you roll. But for me, I generally like to break a book down and sort of take, you know, do it in chunks. And it just improves my writing doing it that way. If I sat down and just try and write it all in one go, you know, the editing process becomes a little bit longer. Whereas if I go into, I, you know, generally I treat a book like a blog post. So, you know, I treat each chapter in that way. So I write it, leave it, come back to it, do another, you know, that second edit, and then move on to sort of the next chapter. Do it that way. So, yeah, that's how. I did the work.
I mean, that's what it seems to come down to, just the discipline, being able to sit there. Maybe you feel like you have a window looking out, seeing the beautiful nature, but realizing, nope, you got to keep typing away at your books. How do you get that motivation? What is the biggest source of your motivation that helps you be able to type away? Maybe you're thinking about doing other things at certain points. Maybe you're feeling the work. But like, how are you able to just like hone in and just do that work?
So for me, I'm a morning person, so I always aim to write first thing in the morning. Sort of by the time lunchtime rolls around, writing is just not going to happen. So that's always my goal, is to write sort of in the morning, not first thing in the morning, because 5 a.m. is just a little bit early for my brain to sort of kick in. But I normally start writing around 7, 8 o'clock in the morning. So that was definitely how I would do that. And then in terms of just sort of keep motivating and stuff like that, I definitely, particularly when I was writing those books, I was in New Zealand and my office did look out over a beautiful park. And, you know, it was, New Zealand's beautiful. So that was really good. But I'd also go out to cafes a lot, and I really like that ambient sound. So I actually found that I was more productive working in a cafe than I was in my home office. So, and then, I mean, there are definitely days where you're just like, I actually just can't write. Like, I just don't feel like writing. And any days that I've sort of felt like that, I would always go for a walk, listen to music, that sort of thing, and then come back to it. So I would never not write. I would always still write. But if I had sat down to write and just wasn't feeling it, then I would immediately, rather than sit there and force my way through it, I'd always go and take a break. And I always, without fail, when I came back, was able to write. So it's just, it's being consistent and, you know, understanding why you're doing something. You know, for me, in the back of my mind, I was like, okay, I don't want to have clients anymore. I want to do this full time. I want this to be one of the main sources of income. So that was also in the back of my head all the time, is why I'm choosing to do this. But also, you know, I enjoy writing. I love writing. So I feel like if you are doing something that you love, it, you know, it doesn't really feel like work, and it doesn't. And that's the reason why I quit my job. I don't ever want to be doing something where I feel like it's a job, because, you know, there's just no fun. And why would you do that? Why would you work for yourself if it's not fun?
So you mentioned that you wake up at 5 a.m. just to get into the groove, so you're eventually able to write your Kindle mm-hmm. books. How are you able to wake up that early without, like, feeling that your candlestick is burning from both sides?
I generally am in bed. My husband says I'm a nana. I'm normally in bed by sort of 10:30 at night. So I don't need 7-8 hours sleep. Like, I've never needed that amount of sleep. So as long as I sort of get 5 to 6 hours, I'm good. And then I use, and I don't know if you guys have it, but I'm pretty sure that you would, I use the Rock Clock app, actually. You know, The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. He has this awesome app, and I love it. And so he wakes me up with his dulcet tones. He sings. and it just, it, you know, it's, I wake up. I'm definitely someone that if I have the alarm set and it goes off, like, I'm a light sleeper. So I'm awake. That's it. Up. And then, yeah, I guess that's just what I do. I set an alarm, and it's whatever works for you. So before the Rock Clock came out, I just had my normal alarm on my phone, and, you know, that's awful. It's an awful way to wake up. Those the alarm sounds are not very nice. So I would actually wake up before my alarm to turn that off, so I didn't actually have to hear it. So the Rock Clock app is definitely way better. It's just a nicer way to wake up. But I generally find that I actually wake up before my alarm. So I'm actually waking up at like 10 to 5, which just sounds really early. now that I say that. Nothing super special in terms of being able to get up. I'm a morning person. I've always been a morning person. 5 a.m. is quite early. I definitely, even when I was working a full-time job, I never got up at 5 a.m. It was more like sort of 6, 6.30, but I like this time of the morning. Like, I like 5 a.m., it's quiet, it's still dark, and it's just, you know, it's probably that sort of hour is me time where I just get to, you know, have a cup of coffee, sit down and, you know, write out what I'm going to do for the day, and it's just a, I really enjoy that time that, you know, no one else is around, it's just me.
I got to try that sometime.
It's fun.
Definitely. So what's the best thing about writing all of these books but getting them out to people and getting the revenue so quickly? Because there are people who are writing their Kindle books, but they're not getting as much traction even though they're writing a lot of books. So what is the best part about that?
I think the best part is obviously, you know, getting people sending you an email saying your book's really helped, you know, over and above the monetary side of things. It wasn't necessarily the biggest driver when I started writing books. I genuinely wanted to help people, and that's, I've always been like, even with my blog, that's the reason why I have it, is to help others. So that was, that sort of flowed through into the book writing. So I don't write books randomly. They are with a specific purpose, and they relate to, you know, my website as well. So I must get, you know, 3 to 5 emails a day from people saying, you know, thank you so much for writing the book. You know, it's helped, and, you know, asking for more books. It's a very freeing way to be able to just sit down and, you know, I write in a conversational tone. It's definitely not strict writing. I don't follow this, you know, adverbs, pronouns and all that sort of stuff. I don't even think about that sort of stuff when I write. I have no formal education in writing at all. I just really enjoy that process.
Just enjoy what you're doing. That's really one of the best ways. I mean, it's so simple. If people listen to, like, all my podcast episodes, they'll hear that a lot. It's a common theme almost everywhere, but it's just so true.
Mm-hmm. It really is. And I think it's also, at some point, you know, if you are thinking about writing books and, you know, that you think this would be really cool for you, you still have to look at it from a business perspective as well. And I think that's where a lot of new authors kind of fall down, is that it's the dream of, you know, being an author and getting paid you know, millions for your book. It's like, well, yeah, and like I'm a dreamer. Like my husband's always saying that I'm airy fairy and that, you know, I never think about the long term stuff or all the nitty gritty stuff. And it's, I do think about that stuff, but I'm very more much a big picture person. But I also know that when it comes to, you know, writing books and particularly if you're self publishing, you have to step back and put a business hat on and look at it from a business perspective. And if you do that, then you'll have far more success because then you sit down and go, okay, well, the Amazon marketplace is like, it's a search engine just like Google. So how are people going to find my book? You know, and when you start thinking about things like that, then you start realizing why some people are successful and some people aren't.
I am curious about how you use Amazon and using that to get more results from the search engine, more visibility there. Before I go into that, there are a lot of listeners who are pursuing different breakthroughs. For some of them, it means hitting a certain number of YouTube subscribers. For others, it means getting a lot of blog traffic, reaching the right person. What advice do you have for these people who are trying to reach their breakthrough in the area that they are pursuing?
I think it's actually probably not a good idea to even have that. Personally, when I started this process, I had no, you know, I wasn't sitting there going, okay, I have to hit this many words for this book, or I want to reach this many people with this book. My whole reason or the whole purpose that I was doing was I want to help as many people as I can. And if that meant only one person bought the book but they loved it and it helped them, then I was totally happy with that. So it's always important to have goals, but I also feel like sometimes that can also be an excuse. You can use that as a thing to sort of say, well, you know, I've got this goal, and it's particularly if you're setting lofty goals, it's more about being realistic about expectations and what it is that you're trying to do, and focusing more on doing things in short periods of time rather than having this altruistic number sort of out there. So, you know, I think if you're sort of pursuing this, it's just really understanding why you're doing it. And if you're just doing it for money, then it's not going to work. I'll just put that right out there. Like if that's your sole goal and your sole purpose, then it won't work because you won't connect with readers. They just won't connect with you because they can just feel, I don't know why it is, but the minute that the written word is really powerful, and if your sole purpose is just to make money out of the books that you're selling, then you're not going to be super successful unless you're an amazing copywriter.
Oh, that works.
But you won't feel very fulfilled for very long.
Right. I've noticed that a lot of people who are really successful, some of them started with the intention of making revenue, but then they realize that they have a stronger purpose. And right when you tap into that purpose, that's when you start to realize your potential, and then you realize the abilities of making revenue. So revenue is just like, I remember hearing it once being compared to as more of a bonus, and helping people and doing all that stuff is the true goal of what you're trying to do.
Agree. I completely agree with that. Yeah, it's the money is kind of a byproduct. And I feel like if you approach anything with the view to help people, or, you know, if you're a fiction writer and you're entertaining people, you know, if you approach it from that perspective, the money figures itself out. Like it'll happen.
What are the three most important methods for driving Kindle book sales? Because I know it's not about the money, but there are some people who they've written their books. It's for their purpose. They're trying to help people. They just want to help more people though. So what are your three tips for driving those sales?
It's about being really consistent. So, you don't need to write 20 plus books like I have at all. Like it's about being very consistent in the approach that you take. So, you know, building readership is probably one of the biggest things. So if you can do that before you even publish the book, you're sort of halfway there. So building your readership, so list building. So do that from day dot before your book's even written. So figure out a way to build that list, because it is going to serve you far, far more further down the track than Amazon ever will. Like, it will. So definitely list building, because every time you launch a book, you're launching straight to them, and you can literally, you know, Steve Scott does it all the time. He launches to his list, you know, and then he's literally number one within a day because he has a fairly big list. So always start building your list from day. And I did that. I did like a pre, you know, if you're just starting, you do it with a free book or some type of freebie to entice people to sign up. You know, that's how this system works. But something that's definitely of value. So definitely list building. And then in terms of the actual mechanics, like the launch process, what's really worked for me is connecting with other authors. So, you know, you can cross promote, you know, your books, particularly if you're in fiction. Like, it's a great way to cross promote. I'm definitely of the belief that we're not in competition. There's a, you know, there's enough people in the world to be able to read every single book that people write. So if you can start building partnerships and, you know, talking to other authors that are in your niche or, you know, similar genres, that sort of thing, that's also a great way to, you know, just having that sort of support and then, you know, being able to those types of promotions. And then Buck Books is definitely one of the, you can't go past utilizing their list. It's huge and it's definitely always moved the dial. So nothing super special really. I don't do anything crazy different, but it is about being consistent with the way that you launch a book. And then, you know, if you're list building, it's keeping in touch with those people, is continuing to build that relationship. And if you continue to build relationships every time you launch a book, the process gets easier and easier, and you're literally almost guaranteed to hit number one on Amazon. Like, it's just, the process becomes easier and easier for sure.
Hitting number one on Amazon definitely involves having a big list and promoting it to the big list, but, you know, also a targeted list. What is your advice for building a big targeted list that would respond well to a book promotion?
So you'd want to be starting probably a good 6 months before your book launch. Like, you need that sort of time. If that's your goal, is to have a fairly big launch, you need to have a big list. And I'm saying, you know, probably 5,000 plus people on that list. You could probably launch a book to 500 people, but they'd have to be really, really targeted. Like, they would have to be very, very hungry for the information that you're providing. So if you think about it from that perspective, yeah, 6 months is plenty of time to sort of build a list in 5,000 people or more. It's just about, it's building relationships. So if you treat the people that get on your list the same way that you treat your friends, then you know, you'll be fine. Like, it's just having regular communication with them, offering as much value as possible. So every time I send an email out to my list, you know, I always sign it off with, you know, do you have a question? Is there something I can help with? Like, you know, send an email, you know, reply to this email, let me know. And I also make a point of saying, and, you know, I'm a human being, I will respond to you. You know, it's, I don't have a VA answering my emails, you know, it's me that you're talking to. So I find that, you know, I have people responding to me all the time because they've pleasantly surprised when they find out that, yes, I'm an actual real person, I'm accessible, I'm happy to answer questions. You know, that's so I think if you approach it from that perspective, you just will have no problems with building a list. Be genuine, be upfront, you know, just be a real person. Speak to them like you would, you know, one of your best friends.
The more you put into that email list relationship,
yes,
the more they reward you with the downloads and all that
exactly.
Fun stuff.
Exactly.
What is one awesome inspirational quote you could think of right now?
Oh, I've got a few surrounding my computer, so I'm just looking at one that I've got two that are my favorites. I've got one that says, do more of what makes you happy. So that's something that I strive to do on a daily basis. And then this one is from a book. It's from a movie, from Cinderella, and it's have courage and be kind. And that's something that I always, it's right in front of me. I see it every single day. So those are the two probably that drive me. One is about, doing more of what makes me happy, which is definitely, my whole tagline on my site is do what you love. So that's
beautiful tagline.
Yeah, and have courage and be kind, because not that I need the constant reminder, but I think sometimes because there are times when you'll get some crappy emails, and it's just remembering that you don't know that person personally. They're coming from a different space, and this quote comes in really handy when that happens. I just go, have courage and be kind.
Lise, it's been a pleasure to have you on this podcast. Before we sign off for this episode, I'm going to give you the spotlight and let all of my listeners know where they can find you on the web.
So I am at hustleandgroove.com. That is my main website. And my author website is leasecartwright.com.
Lise, thank you for taking the time to be a guest on the podcast today.
No problem. Thanks so much for having me, Mark.
My pleasure. That was a great interview. I know that the road to success is hard and that there's no such thing as an overnight success, but it's possible to become successful earlier than you imagined. Lise is one of those examples of someone who hustled her way from no Kindle income whatsoever to $3,000 to $4,000 per month in just 6 months. Anyone who has written Kindle books can tell you that is a very impressive jump in such a short period of time. So regardless of what your goal is, if you put in the hustle, you can get that goal accomplished faster than you ever imagined. If you forgot to take notes, then don't worry. We've got you covered with the show notes. Visit markguberti.com/E10. For those, you can ask your questions over there, which I'll be happy to answer. To never miss an episode, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on whatever player you are using. If you are a regular listener and haven't done so already, I would greatly appreciate it if you could give this podcast a review or a rating. Two ways you could do this are through markguberti.com/iTunes or markguberti.com/Stitcher. That ends this episode. Don't forget, dream big, achieve greatness, and unlock your potential today. How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn more and get access to this free resource, visit markguberti.com/retweet. This podcast is a production done by Mark Guberti. For more insights, head on over to markguberti.com.